fellow enthusiasts of technology and innovation. It is time for a new episode of our SAP Learning Insights podcast mini-series Texture. Today, we will look into skill development and the question of how to stay ahead. Times are crazy changing, especially crazy fast, so learning is a future skill that must be discussed here. With me are Andreas Felber and Geman Mesa. Just a few words from my side up front. I'm excited to have you both here. As Andreas, you were sharing with me that you was coming from the field of international relations and you decided to do a master's in business informatics, and massively respect for that. And you, Geman, we was talking about your journey, and it was so inspiring that change has been kind of a constant in your life. And now I would like to give you the stage to give yourself a full introduction for our listeners.
Okay, I will start then first. My name is Herman Mesa. Been working SAP for the last 20 years or something like that, so long period of time. But my background is in physicist. So I'm a theoretical physicist. I started there, and as many things in my life, things didn't go in the right direction. And then I started to do a lot of computing science and things like that, and ended in SAP 20 years ago. And that's something I never regret. Let's put it like that.
A warm welcome from my side as well. Thank you for having me. I'm Andreas. I'm 25 years old, and I'm, as said, currently pursuing a part-time master's studies in business information systems. Before, did my bachelor's in international relations and management, and been with SAP since September 2021, so already 2.5 years in the books, and happy to be here.
Great. I wanted to get you guys to know a little bit better, so I was deciding to integrate a quick fire round into our podcast, where I want to give you the possibility to answer my quick questions with quick answers. So here we go with the first one. Might you would stay out where you are right now, but I was thinking if you could take any job within SAP just based on your interest, what would it be, Andreas?
I guess for me, it would be functional consulting. Being in direct customer contact, solving problems and implementing our solutions is something that definitely sparks my interest.
You, Geman?
Well, I guess I'm Andreas' interest. So I'm a consultant. I love it. I will stay here. So that's my dream job.
And what kind of skill development you guys like the most? Like, are you rather in soft or in hard skills?
So for me, as I'm currently pursuing a part-time master's, I think we will speak about this later as well. But that is why I currently really enjoy progressing my hard skills, such as Java, databases, or software project management.
Well, I have to be the other way around, so I prefer soft skills. Yeah, hard skills, obviously, they are good for the work to be done, and that's something that I learned while doing. But soft skills, I guess, give you a better foundation long-term, and you can use it in many different areas, not necessarily in SAP, but even somewhere else.
And one last question, more directed to your personality. Would you consider yourself more like a master of your chaos, or are you a more well-structured person?
Well, I'm master of disaster, as someone described me. Well, I guess I have a mixture of a combination of both areas. So I'm a structure by nature, that's clear. But however, based on what I study physics, I learned that everything is quite flexible and can change from one day to the other. So I'm very open minded, you know, on that sense.
For me, it's pretty much the other way around. I'm a really structured guy, and I always love to have the structure in my learning process. So I do have to say that this is really important to me.
I think you have an advantage there when you know how to structure yourself. So let's get into the topic, talking about learning. First of all, talking about what to learn. When I was thinking about the questions, I was thinking about what happened last year. And already before, we was talking a lot about artificial intelligence. And then last year, when the big boom happened, we all maybe kind of knew it was coming, but the way it came and that it came was still kind of out of the nowhere. So I was wondering, were you guys prepared for this to come up, or were you totally surprised, maybe even felt overwhelmed?
So being fully transparent here, I first learned about it on a LinkedIn post in November 2022 when ChatGPT came out. And I first thought this is like this classical LinkedIn hype where someone pushes a topic. But then I tried it out personally and I quickly realized it has potential, but overwhelmed, I didn't really feel like that.
Yeah, my case was the other way around. So I started working on that back in 2014 or something like that. So that was the first time I noticed that something was happening there. I was lucky because I was put in contact with a very good training for a guy that's called Andrew Ng. That's a professor for a very important university in US. And then from there, I was taking all what was happening. And yeah, it was fun to see that that everything, it's putting everything together. But I guess that there's a big misconception here. And even from SAP perspective, sometimes you hear that people, they probably don't get completely the message. And my opinion always is, yeah, technology is very relevant. However, probably it's more relevant to identify first what business questions you want to answer with that technology. And that's something that we are missing sometimes. But surprise, no, not at all.
So just from my side, for me as a non-tech, I was the one feeling overwhelmed because AI was enabling so many things I wasn't able to do before. And to be honest, ChatGPT was becoming kind of my best friend, especially regarding university, but not as kind of being my assistant or my secretary, rather than being a supportive source of inspiration. And staying ahead is the question of this episode. And this is why I think deciding where you put in your personal focus is one of the main things you need to direct your learning on. Is there a way how you guys figure out what skills are right for you to train in the moment? And do you have a feeling of what skills can become useful for you in the future?
That's a tough question. So I guess my gut feeling is when you hear that in when in the hairdresser, probably you are too late. Or when you hear that in the press, you are too late. So my perspective always is basically, I have good connections with the university, so I can talk to many people there. I have good connections inside SAP as well, so I manage to get information from there. Podcast is something that I always follow, but not every podcast, but some specific podcast in some specific focus. And this is what helps me to get a gut feeling where the things are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So for me personally, and this is a really narrow space we are in, I frequently visit our learning.sap.com website, mm-hmm. which is, by the way, accessible to everyone, not only employees. And there I get a pretty good idea, I would say, of what is relevant now and in the future also. So I tend to follow these trustful resources, for example, also on LinkedIn, that usually share new trends in the industry, such as ChatGPT in November 2022. Mm-hmm. But currently, I always like to have a look at Harvard Business Review or Deloitte Digital. I think they're doing a great job.
And one question on top, we was having an episode where we was talking about uncertainty, and we was mentioning that if you go into different directions, if you trying to be open, it might tend to work out way better for yourself and your skill development. Are you more kind of a person who jumps into one topic, or are you rather a person who tries to be, I would say, multi-talented or multi-skilled?
I will say multi-talented. So what I learn is that if you are really focused on one very specific topic or one specific technology, with the time, you have a lot of options that technology or that topic drops from the speech. And then we have very good examples in SAP in the past. So I will say my primary focus is always to get a solid foundation that's cross. That's my first approach. And then I just cherry pick some topics that I would like to get deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a way of working. It's probably one of many.
Sure.
So for me, and this might be due to my age, the only thing I learned in my 2.5 years of my professional experience, that the only constant is change. So in the beginning, 2.5 years ago, I focused on one area I really liked. And then I learned like 6 or 7 months later that this has become irrelevant already. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is my personal opinion, that it's always important to have a few fishes in the bucket, right?
Yeah.
To have different options.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if I can add something on the top. We are very SAP-centric in SAP because we are SAP, obviously. But there are very good things happening out there. And my 2 cents, take a look to what is happening outside of SAP, not to get, too focused on what we are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. When you kind of dive into a company and you really capsuled in there, you don't see what's going on left and right. So this is why exchange beyond your organization, beyond your own circle, is really important. And what tip would you give someone if they're struggling to find where they should set their focus?
not focus.
Focuses.
Yeah, I will say that. No, that's a joke. It depends on your age sometimes. So when you are starting, you probably you don't know what's relevant, or you don't know where you want to go, or you have doubts. The important thing is that you can change. So that's irrelevant. So you can take a look to a broad sense what's happening. And sometimes you are surprised about how interesting things are in some areas that you never think about. So if you start just focusing from a start and I'm just thinking now AI, oh yeah, AI is great. Yeah, fantastic. So I will focus on AI. Maybe you are missing things that you would like more. So be open, read about everything that you can. That would be my advice. Talk to whoever you want. So we have in the company, we already have some mentor capabilities, coach capabilities that you can ask for. And that will give you some ideas, some good ideas. But don't focus too quickly. Take your time.
So practically you're saying try to be a sponge. Soak everything in you can.
Take your time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take your time. I mean, be humble and learn from others. And I would say, but that goes forever. So be humble and try to learn. I'm learning constantly from people that half my age. Doesn't matter. Okay. Be a sponge. Yeah, that's a good description.
Andreas, you would like to add something?
I fully agree with Hermann here. I think the most important or crucial factor here is to be open-minded, right? Especially if you're young, it's important that you look at topics that at first hand might not even spark your interest too much, but still, why not have a quick learning, 30 minutes, watch a YouTube video. I think the entry barrier these days is really easy, right? So you can just pick a topic, watch a YouTube video, and then find out by yourself if it's relevant to you or not. So to your question on focusing the topic, it's not really about focusing. It's more like exploring different capabilities and then finding the right way for you over time.
Right. That's a great suggestion to frame a different way, as when you focus, you may be dive so deep that you're really stuck in it. Mm-hmm. And when you were sharing that you were starting in a completely, not completely maybe, but in a new field as starting your master's in business informatics, I was wondering, when I plan for myself, I want to learn something new. I see this huge, big S field and I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to start because I don't know where, I don't know how. How did you decide to get into it? Are you kind of going step by step into it, see what's coming up, what interests you? Or were you kind of going, okay, there's this thing, I'm making a master plan and this is how I'm going through it?
So to provide a little bit of context, my bachelor studies were, as said, in international relations and management, which has none to very little informatics context. Still, I started as a working student at the end of my studies and quickly developed an interest in what SAP does and how we do business. And then I figured out I need to gain some foundational knowledge in informatics or business informatics. So I decided to do a master's. And now I'm able to proactively select a few courses that spark my interest and fit my role. And so, yes, I guess you could call it a master plan, but still it's a little bit fluid that I really enjoy this openness of selecting courses at the end of each semester again to support my role in my job.
Great. Now coming from the what to the how in the second part of this episode. So it is nice once you figured out what you want to learn, what has sparked your interest. I guess this is the best when something you're not feeling about, I have to learn this to become better, but you think, I want to learn this because it's my passion. It's about how to learn. And I think this is something you, of course, keep learning as well. But for me personally, this is way more important that academia should provide for you to learn how to learn instead of exactly what to learn, because no matter what role you're going to start working in, you're going to have to specialize in some way on this. And while you're still studying, trying to figure out what way you want to go, you should equip yourself with what you need to get in whatever role you're going to decide to start on. So first of all, as I already mentioned, when I want to start something new and I see this big ass field, I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to start because I'm way too overwhelmed. So motivation is something really, really crucial. And starting to learn something new comes maybe because of that with a lot of hesitation. Is there something yourself use to spark your motivation? Is there something you have to summon your passion?
Okay. So yeah, motivation, that's it really depends. If it's something that forces you to learn or something that you want to learn, that probably that's the big difference. Okay. So obviously if it's something that comes from you, it's very easy. Motivation is there. you don't need to struggle quite a lot. If it's from outside, it really depends. What depends? So is it something that I need for my work? Then I have no chance at learning that, right? So motivation is there because I get a wage at the end of the month. And motivation is there because probably it's imposed by the politics of the company. So I need to learn it. And what I do then is be very pragmatic. So what is required from me? So I need to pass, I don't know, a certification. That's the goal. And from there, I start to plan backwards and say, okay, well, I will put it in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, whatever. Okay, whatever suits me. And then I just slice the problem in small topics. And from there, it's like, you know that in 6 months, you will be out. You will be done whatever you had to do. And then after that, you will be released and you can go for a beer.
I really like your pragmatic approach, Hermann. So one thing I had to learn was, and I think every student and every person that was in school knows this, not everything you have to learn is fun. So I always think of this geography class in university where I had to learn by heart any rivers in South America. And I'm like, why do I have to know this? But sometimes you just have to do things. And then I always try to find an intersection with my job or my daily life, however small it may be, to indicate me or personally the relevance of the topic to spark my interest.
I can tell you that I like to procrastinate as well. So I'm feeling horrible when I have to learn something that I don't see the purpose. But sometimes purpose is out there and you don't get it.
You gave me the perfect keyword, procrastination. I think this is something young people struggle so much with. And I was reading an article a while ago, which said kind of, don't worry, it will get better because the older you get, the less you tend to procrastinate. And I was thinking, okay, this is a great reason to age that I'm not going to postpone everything further. So no pressure there. And you also said that you like to structure, like you said, your aim and then you kind of plan what steps you have to take to get there. And time management or like learning techniques come with quite fancy names. By now, I was reading Eat the Frog. This was something new for me recently I heard about. Can you give some examples of learning techniques or techniques for time management you personally use? And how did you figure out what works best for you?
Okay, maybe I can start. So you mentioned a book. I will mention another one. There's a very old one that's called Make It Stick. You can find it everywhere in Amazon and basically change my way of learning when I was 50 years old. I wish I would know about it a long time ago. But at the end, the message that goes into that book is basically that you don't have to read things 20 times. It's more like you read and then you try to retrieve what you have read. And then you do some kind of repetitions by the time. And then you interleave different topics so that you can try to recover, to retrieve from different points in time and with the time. And this is something that works really well to go through, I will say, exams, for instance. It works like a champ.
Thanks for sharing.
So I can share two main strategies, I would put it, because for me, it's really crucial, right, when studying and working at the same time. So first, just last semester, I had two exams where I had this huge script and I needed to memorize the content by heart. And for that, I always used the Pomodoro technique, which is like learning for 20 minutes intensively and then having a short break for 5 minutes, then learning again for 20 minutes. There are also a few apps out there that support this approach that I can really recommend. So this really helps me in terms of memorizing things. And I think this is pretty obvious, but the good old to-do list every day in the morning really does the trick for me. So every day I will write down what I have to achieve this day. This really stops me from procrastinating because I always have this list in front of me where I know, maybe you don't want to do this task now. Start with the other. And I think this is a great way to structure your day.
Yeah. And I will advise you also to add what you have done on the top of that list at the end, because that helps you to understand that on the top of the things that you have done, there are many other things that you did that you are not even aware of that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So you feel better. Yeah, you feel better at the end. But that's a good technique, actually. Yeah.
I would like to add there were two things that were so simple, but still mind-blowing for me personally. I picked them up a while ago. Mm-hmm. One was connected to ChatGPT. So there was a person who was still studying university. And knowledge learning is in university or for life way different than I personally experienced in my pre-academic education. And he said he's given the prompt, give me 20% of what I need for this lecture. So he was getting 20% of the information he would need to understand already the lecture that's coming up. So when the professor is providing what topics they're going to cover, he already gets a bit pre-knowledge. And through this, he's already having a repetition while he's sitting in the lecture. Mm-hmm. And adding to that, new knowledge is just getting attached in your head when you connect it with knowledge you already have there. So combining these both techniques kind of work in hand in hand and can make it so much easier to learn new knowledge, not preferably skills, but knowledge. And I had to admit last semester, this was working really well for me. So that's just is as a tip. This is already going in the direction of digital learning. And as I said, predominantly, my pre-academic education has been so different from what I've learned is important when you go into academic learning and lifelong learning. How would you say technology has helped you in your learning experience and techniques?
Quite a lot. I would say, yeah, it's quite a lot. I use both formats. So you can see I have books somewhere over there. So I use them anyway, because there are digital experiences that are good and not so good. So I really hate when you go and to a digital media and then all in a sudden it's like a book, but in digital format. So I hate that. So, but on the other hand, you have people, wonderful people that are publishing things in even YouTube, how to make things happen. And, you know, and it's amazing. Or even our own platforms, you can see videos on how things are done. Or even in our help, you get tutorials on how to do things very easily. Mm-hmm. So it changed quite a lot. And for good, I will say, for good. And you mentioned ChatGPT. I use that as well. I use that as well. So no surprise. And I use that, for instance, there is something that's called the Feynman technique. And Feynman technique, basically how it works is that you need to explain a concept to a person that doesn't know about it. And you need to do probably in a couple of minutes. This is the new concept. I will read a little bit about it. Now I want you to explain that concept. And I use ChatGPT for that. Okay. Because it's extremely difficult to explain a concept to a person that doesn't know about it. And when you don't get there, you need to revisit the concept to see if you really understood it. And I use ChatGPT for that purpose, for instance.
That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing.
No worries. It's been there.
Yeah. I personally have to say the digital learning is a curse and a blessing for me. So I would consider myself as a digital native. So I grew up learning with digital media. However, I have to say my attention span when watching any LinkedIn learning videos or YouTube videos is quite short, because I'm sitting in this room by myself and there are 1,000 things I could do next to watching this video. And I usually don't really focus 100% on that. So when it's a topic that really sparks my interest and really catches me, I think it's great. But this does not mean that we only have to focus on digital learning. I think the in-room next to each other, person-to-person experience is always still very valuable. But you have to say, in digital, you can track your progress really easily and you can structure the way you want to learn or even skip ahead. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah, that's true. Everything comes with a pro and con. And another rather bad thing about digital learning offerings or offerings of digital knowledge is that when you look into a new topic, you rather Google. And when things are not happening digital, when things are not available digital, you think they're not there. So I was in a research institute and they said they feel the pressure and the urge to digitalize all their work they had done because people not finding their research, people not seeing what they have done. So kind of there is now the pressure already that you have to take place digital to be seen.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that brings also to the pressure you have to be, available all the time. So you mentioned the tension gap. And I believe this is something that's also, I didn't have that problem when I was studying, because we didn't have that. So obviously, you were not attracted by any notification that was jumping into your phone every single second. But this is something that we need to manage. My case, for instance, I just got out of many social media, getting out. Do you look for me in the media? Probably I will be just LinkedIn and nothing else, because it was catching so much of my time for things that were not really contributing too much that I decided to drop it.
Yeah, there you really need to make a difference between the urge or the need for entertainment.
Yeah.
And when it's really dragging you in, and it can even start consuming you, I would say, when it really takes you in this virtual digital world. Good. So going a bit in a different direction now, I also wanted to talk with you guys about starting the professional life. So when you prepare yourself to get into a job, you're thinking, okay, I'm coming from university and now I'm going to work, rock the future workforce. But how did you personally feel starting your first job? Maybe not I'm going to rock the future world of work, which would be ideal. But have you been self-confident in the skills you had by that time? And how well did you feel that your academic education was preparing you for the world of work?
So for me, it's a little bit ambivalent, I would say. So first, when I started my job, and as I said, I did not have a technical bachelor studies before. Immediately, the imposter syndrome hit for me and I was like, oh, I cannot do anything in my job. But I quickly realized that the main thing I learned in my studies was to learn new things and to accustom yourself to unknown situations. And I think this was the most important learning for me within my first months in my first job, that not the hard skills I learned in university to know which EBIT data and this and that and this Excel sheet is important, but really to understand how to learn or how to acquire new skills quickly. So personally, I did not feel well at the beginning, but this changed quickly.
That's great that you was taking this turn.
Well, I'm just thinking about my first day at work, probably was the worst first day at work ever. So yeah, so that happened a long time ago, but I was just put in the front of a customer and decided to delete or to drop a production database. That was my first day. So I completely dropped it. So from there, everything was uphill, I will say. You mentioned that kind of syndrome that, oh, I don't deserve it or something like that. That probably will ever happen to you, even with the time. So I will say, yes, take it easy. In my opinion, when I'm meeting people that are new in the job, the question I'm making is not about if they are capable of delivering the job. It's more like their attitude in the job. So if they want to learn, if they want to contribute, if it's the kind of person that I would like to work with, I'm fine.
I think there is the need to give each other a good feeling, because I always love to go back to this interview I've seen of one of my favorite comedians. He's a German comedian. His name is Tedros Teklebran, I guess, Teddy, better known. And he was saying in an interview that he was, after like a while, he was considering, what are you doing here? You're not even funny. And then he said, oh, 10 years are over. Somehow it worked out. And I was like, this guy seems so confident and he's making such a good comedy. And you would never, never guess that this person is feeling like he's not making people laugh, that he's not confident in the skill of being funny he's having. So this is something I always like to revisit when I fear myself not being confident in what I'm doing. And I think this is something that never truly will go away, especially when new things are coming up and new tasks are hitting your table. So always, I think it is nice to give each other the feeling, hey, sometimes I'm feeling too that I don't know what I'm actually doing here, but somehow we can work it out and somehow the journey actually does go on.
Yeah.
And when you guys started your professional career, for you, Germán, it was probably way longer ago. What will you suggest from that time to students that are looking for a job regarding especially their skill set? What should they consider? Mm-hmm. What fears and anxieties they maybe should not have?
Well, at the end, the fears are coming with you. So I'm 50-something already and I still have some fears that I had when I was 20. So forget about that. You are going to have those fears. Okay. So, but there are a couple of things I will advise you when you are looking for a job. The first one is very basic. It's do your homework. Okay. So basically think on the kind of position you want, why you want that position. Try to understand what are your strengths related to that position. If you're going to a company, take a look what they are doing for a living. Understand what they are doing. Understand their culture. Maybe you don't like the culture. And then even if you like the job, you don't like the culture, so you are out because you don't want to work in a company like that. Does it help? Yes, it helps a lot to boost your confidence in what you are doing, because then you have, it's not a plan, but something that looks like a plan. Okay. And something I said already. So the guy or the person that's interviewing you is interviewing you because they want to have a person in that position. Okay. It's not because they have nothing else to do. Okay. And also that person, what is looking is for a person that is matching or it will match in the team that they already have. Okay. They are looking for a person they would like to work with. They are not looking for a star or something crazy. They are looking for a normal person that works well, that can be adapted, and so on and so forth. So take it easy and do a forensic analysis if you fail. What went wrong? Why it went wrong? It's very basic and common sense, I will say.
I really like it. Yeah. I can actually add one practical tip to that. When circling back to AI, I would recommend to use some AI tool of your choice and then ask it something like, I'm interested in working as... then post an exemplary LinkedIn job description and then provide a few skills that you might have, or maybe even post your full LinkedIn profile in there and ask, how do you consider my chances for this particular job? Which skills should I emphasize? Where do I still have a gap? And then consider to learn them. I think this is really helpful and works out really good.
Yeah, use keywords as well. So when you go to some kind of announcements, so you can see that they are looking for specific topics and try to slice that announcement into skills. And yeah, use those keywords in your answer. Use those keywords in your custom CV. It's very sad when you are sending a CV that looks the same for 20 different roles. Try to customize it a little bit. Doesn't take that long.
I guess it also takes for yourself to know yourself. So you should know your strengths and weaknesses. And from there, I guess when you figure yourself out, you tend to figure out where you suit best. To the last question, I want to get out of the professional sometimes, and learning is not just there to make you employable, and learning is not just there to equip you to solve future problems. Learning should also be fun, and you can learn tons of things. So I wanted to know, how much time do you actually have to invest into private learning, if there's time for it, and what skills are filling your life with joy?
So I think I would, first of all, do not call it private learning because this sounds way too professional. I think you subconsciously learn when you enjoy things just via scrolling through Instagram or talking to people. So for me personally, it is about cooking and bicycle riding, which are two hobbies I currently enjoy the most. And I do not have too much time to allocate to those two hobbies, but still, I think you always find time to investigate and deep dive into something that you love.
Yeah, and you have a very deep internal life, let's say like that. Yeah, to me, you say learning. I don't know. I did a lot of things. I will keep doing a lot of things. So we were discussing about that before we started. So I played violin and I started at 45. And then 5 years later, I decided that it was a good idea to go for watchmaking, for instance. And I don't know. It really depends. I play tennis. But I have to say something. So I not completely agree on that you don't have time to do things. So it's more like where you want to save the time for. And I remember when I was a kid that my mom was always saying, oh, you watch too much TV. So all that time, you're not watching TV and you're doing something else. All of a sudden, you have tons and tons of hours to spend in some other things. Yeah, it's up to you to take the decision in which box you want to put things on.
I'm having a fun fact on that. So I'm struggling with the household sometimes. I'm not a person who enjoys it. And this is why I like to push folding my clothes always forward. And I know it sounds a bit stupid, but then I was realizing if things in the household you don't enjoy doing, just make it a hobby. So I was turning loud music on, I was singing, I was folding my clothes. So folding clothes will be now my evening hobby instead of relaxing. So I find relaxation in folding my clothes by now. And I think it is also about the perspective and the angle you give to things. And also, it was so nice that you shared that you was at 45 starting to play an instrument. I was like a kid and it was already sucking by that time, so I wasn't finding joy in that. But it somehow takes the pressure that when you decide to do one thing, it doesn't mean that you always have to do it. And it does not mean that you're missing out on something, because no matter what age you are, you can still decide to go another direction and you can still decide to invest your time into something else. And
Oh, yeah.
This is something I was afraid for quite a long time, that if I choose this path or I choose to do this right now, I won't have time for the other things. So people know it's never too late.
And it's definitely a fun small talk answer when you tell about yourself and you say, I like folding clothes with loud music.
Yeah.
That's true. So it was a really insightful conversation, which is why I would like to take us to the epilogue course now. My main takeaway was that learning is about fun and passion as well. It is about being structured, being disciplined as well. So even learning is not much fun sometimes. Focus on where it can get you. And I would like to hear from you guys, what is the last thing you would like to give to our listeners?
So I think it is crucial for everyone to have a solid foundation of skills. And this does not have to be any specific area, but it's more like having skills in problem solving, using technology, working well with others. So also the soft skill part and being adaptable. I think if you have this set of crucial skills in the beginning to work with, I think you're in a good way already.
Yeah. On the top of that, be curious. Be curious, be open mind, be passionate. I believe you mentioned passionate. Yeah, that's a good thinking as well. But if you are curious, then all in a sudden, every single topic becomes interesting. And it sounds weird, but this is how it is.
Keep your inner child. Keep being curious. Keep being nosy. Put your nose into everything that seems
absolutely
interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it was really a joy having you both in here. I always feel inspired after our episodes. So thanks a lot for being here, sharing your insights, sharing your advices. And that's from my side.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was very fun.